All right, Ephesians chapter 5. Continue our study that we started this morning. What does Christianity really look like? And tonight we're going to continue along that thought path. And actually, for the next few messages, we're going to continue along that thought path. You know, you should be able to recognize a Christian without having to ask them, are they a believer? If you're around them very long, now there's nothing wrong with asking somebody if they're saved, if they're a believer. But if you're around somebody very long, you should be able to recognize just simply by the life that they live. And so tonight we continue, what does it really look like to be a Christian? Would you stand as we read from Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 8? For you were once in darkness, but now you are light. Let me read that again, because I just read it wrong. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things which are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever man makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we bow before you asking for your guidance in this study. Father, speak to us through your word. Give us understanding. Teach us things that we did not know, that we may draw nearer to you and grow in our knowledge of you. Father, we love you and we praise you for giving your Son Jesus Christ as the sacrifice for our sin. And we rejoice in being your children. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right, and we continue with this idea of what Christianity really looks like, and we continue with our statements that we began this morning. Number one tonight is the statement, saints are here to make a difference. We'll say that again. Saints are here to make a difference. I want you to notice in verse 1, and I said I had to read it again because out of habit, I read it wrong. But if you look there in verse 8, it says, for you were once darkness. Did you catch what I said the first time? I said, you were once in darkness. That's not what it says. I find it interesting, and I'm not sure I didn't go to anywhere else to find out, but this is the only place that I've ever noticed this statement, that you were once darkness. And if you think about that just a moment, you go back to where you were, what that is saying is everything you were without Jesus Christ was darkness. You want to know why you did some things when you were not saved and made some bad decisions while you were not saved? Because you were darkness. And that's what you were. That's what we were before we received Jesus Christ. But now you are light. Notice it doesn't say you are in the light. It says you are light. And what does that mean? Well, I refer you to Matthew 5:14, which says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. And the idea is that when you walk into a room or when you are among other people, that you are naturally a light that reveals God. If you are a child of God, that's the concept here. That soon as people are exposed to you, they're exposed to God. The light and the truth of who God is. And how does that happen? Well, I'm glad you asked. Verse 9. it says, for the fruit of the Spirit, or we could say, and I'm not adding to, but the concept here, the fruit of the Spirit, or fruit of light, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Now, we're here to make a difference. The way we make a difference is we light up the room when we enter. You ever knew anyone who would light up the room? That's what we're to do. We're an immediate revelation of Jesus Christ when we are in any environment. Not only are we here to make a difference, we're here to make that difference by living our faith. Saints live their faith. How? Well, like I read in verse 9, the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Now, if you're not real careful, you'll breeze through that and not stop to think about it. And that's what I want to take just a moment tonight, to stop and think about those three things. You are light because your life is filled with goodness. Okay? When do you ever ask anybody, how you doing? And they say, well, I'm good. I'm doing good. And they, well, the Bible says there's none good. No, not one. Well, that's taken out of context. Okay? The idea is that all men are sinners and need to come to salvation, but you can still practice goodness. And the idea of goodness is moral excellence, generosity. This morning we said that saints have standards, and because of those standards, I said that there are things that saints don't do. But, you know, it's not just what we don't do. I think too often in religion, we get the idea that it's our job not to steal or cuss or commit murder or commit adultery or commit fornication. You know, that we don't do these things, the thou shalt not, and we call that good. No! No! All those things are darkness. We leave darkness for what? For goodness. To practice the moral excellence and the generosity of God. You know, the idea behind that word goodness is that people are just better because you're around. I want you to think about that. People are just better because you are a part of their life. You know, and I think the idea of this is just basically being a blessing to people. There are some people who I think they just almost can't help it. They're a blessing. They bless people because they can. They bless people because they want to. They look for opportunities to bless people. And the idea, of course, of that blessing is so people can see how good our God is. Their practice is goodness. You know, have you ever went through Walmart and somebody in front of you, you know, was a little short? Couldn't pay their grocery bill, and have you ever stepped up and helped them out? That's goodness. That's goodness. If you ever do that, wonderful. But don't just leave it at that. Mention Jesus to them. At least mention, God bless you. And I'm proud God gave me this opportunity to be a blessing. You know, because that's what we're here to do. We're to light up the lives of other people who are walking in darkness, and we do that by what we put into practice. Goodness, righteousness, simply doing what God says is right. You know, we're to be a display of what it looks like to be right with God. Have you ever seen somebody that you just knew that person knows God? I don't mean they just know God. They know God. That's the kind of people that we're to be. A life that reflects who God is. And doing things that are righteousness in God's sight. But what I really want to focus on for a minute is the third thing. And that is truth. The idea behind that word is divinely disclosed truth. God has revealed truth to you, is that concept. And we're going to live in the knowledge of that truth. See, the problem in the world today, or one of our problems in the world today, is that lies are prevalent. It started in the Garden of Eden. Do you remember Satan asked Eve, what can you do? And Eve said, we can't eat of this fruit or we'll surely die. And Satan said, oh, you won't die. That's a lie. They died. And he's still lying to people today. And the world today is filled with this concept of acceptance and tolerance, and it's okay to do anything you want to do and be anything you want to be. And so our country celebrates things like gay pride and celebrates women becoming men and men becoming women without telling them the truth. But it's not just that homosexual lifestyle. Did you know it's a sin to live together outside of marriage? Sure you knew that. But do you, when you have a friend that's in that situation, do you mention that to them? See, that's part of being light. And there's enough lies in the world. Patting people on the back saying, oh, it's okay. Nobody's perfect. You know? And what has happened in today's world, Romans 1:25, we've exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever and ever. Amen. The sad part is that people are getting on board with lies because they don't want to hear the truth. And I want to tell you, we're here to illuminate the truth, so that people can see what truth really is. And which brings us to the third point. Saints do the hard things. Saints do the hard things. Verse 10. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Now, understand that phrase in the New King James. It's not really a good translation. That phrase, finding out, it means to prove or to demonstrate. This is why we live goodness and righteousness and truth, so that we can demonstrate to the world that God's way works. Have you ever wondered why people are so miserable? Because they're living failures. And they're living failures because they believe lies. The lies of that it doesn't matter the kind of life you live. The lies that you don't have to honor God. The lies that say there is no God. And they live under that and can't figure out why we're so miserable. Listen, we're here to demonstrate, and that's what that means, that we demonstrate what is acceptable to the Lord, that we prove, literally, that we prove that God's way works. I have never followed God and it not worked out right. I'm going to say that again. It's not always been easy, all right? And there aren't times I didn't have trouble, but there has never been a time when I knew I was doing what God led me to do that it turned out wrong. Never. Because God's way, very simply, works. That's why we're told here in verse 11, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Listen, that word fellowship, it means to share in, meaning, okay, we don't do certain things, but it also carries the idea of having a sympathetic attitude toward something. I remember the day when right was right and wrong was wrong. You remember that? And you didn't have to try to justify being right because it was just right. God's Word said it. That was the end of it. And today we've lost that among Christians. It's as though we're afraid to say, no, that's wrong. And it is a very difficult thing to tell someone you love that they're wrong when they're going down the wrong road, whatever that road is. It's hard to say, listen, you're going to crash and burn. But if you love them, you will. you'll tell them the truth. You see, and the other thing, okay, you don't stop loving them because you tell them the truth. As a matter of fact, it's just the opposite. You stop loving them when you won't tell them the truth. You know, y'all know I'm very proud of my children and grandchildren. I'm very thankful for my children and grandchildren. And, I love those little babies so much. But there's a couple things that pops won't do. We just won't do. Number one, pops don't do wine. Now, I'm not talking about wine. I'm talking about fine. That when you don't get your way, you just whine and cry and until you do get your way. That don't cut it with, you know, no. As a matter of fact, with me, that just keeps you from getting it. Because most of the time, I tell those little rascals, okay, not right now, but a little later we will. But when the whining starts, I say, okay, we probably won't a little later. You know? But I think that's good to have the fortitude enough to teach the kids we're not whiners. Second thing I won't do. I won't be ignored. And you have to understand my point of view. I only tell them, no, don't do that, 99% of the time, to keep them from hurting themselves. I care enough for you not to hurt yourself, you know? And so, if I go through the trouble of caring enough to tell you don't hurt yourself, I expect them to listen. Yeah? See, that's part of loving. That's us as Christians. We've got to love enough to say, no, that's wrong. No, you should not be involved in that. Why? Because it's against God's Word. And instead, we make excuses. You ever heard the statement, boys will be boys? That's just an excuse not to correct your son. You know? See, saints do the hard things. We're willing to take a stand when a stand is necessary, but also understand that when we take that stand, we preach the truth in love. Okay? I knew a lady once. She's gone home to be with the Lord now. Her name was Aveline, Sister Aveline. Brother Michael knows Sister Aveline. That lady would correct you in a heartbeat. But she did it with such a loving manner that you thanked her when she got finished. She did it with such compassion that you knew she cared about you. She loved you. You see, that's being light. We'll never be a light to the world when we attack the world. I want you to understand, because sometimes, you know, sometimes I take a pretty hard line stand as a pastor, and sometimes maybe it's too hard. But understand, the most important thing that we use to illuminate the world is the love of God, and to let them see the love of God. That's why you don't see me get on Facebook and join in the attacks when people say things that, I know that's wrong. I don't join that. The reason it's hard to be loving on Facebook. You know what people do on Facebook? It's kind of nameless and faceless. I don't know why they call it Facebook, so they say anything. We as Christians have to be personal and loving enough to tell the truth. But when we get finished with telling the truth, they need to know that we have given them the truth from a heart of love. That's the idea of being light. It's a fine line, I know. And boy, you know, sometimes if you're like me, sometimes I can get excited and say things that are not helpful, you know? And I look back and think, boy, I wish I hadn't said that. But just never forget, if we're going to be light, we're light through love. And when love is our motivation, verse 14, awake, you who sleep. This is written to those who are walking in darkness. Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Here's the idea, that they see Christ living in us so profoundly that they say, I want that. That when they look at their life, that they look at our life, they say, they have something that I need. That's what our actions should say. Arise. Arise. Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See, the wonderful thing about what we have is that it's available to all men. To anyone who will repent from their sin and turn to Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if you're rich, poor. It doesn't matter if you're middle income. It doesn't matter what clubs you belong to. It doesn't even matter who's your best friend and all that stuff. The only thing that matters, are you willing to turn to Jesus? The good news is Jesus loved you and gave His life for you so that you could live and have a life worth living. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? If not, we're going to have a verse of invitation. I'm going to invite you to come. I would love to have the privilege of showing you in the Word of God how Jesus loves you so much that He died for your sins, and you're a prayer away from salvation. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. And Father, we want to be what Christians really look like. Sometimes, Lord, we forget to make love our motivation. Sometimes we go on the attack. Sometimes we keep silent when we should speak. Lord, I pray that You'll give us wisdom, that we may honor You with a life that when we walk into a room or when we walk into a public place, that we are truly light and illuminate a world of darkness. Father, we love You, and now we pray Your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand?